Like many countries around the world, Iceland is reeling from the global economic crisis. Geir Hardy, Iceland's prime minister, recently resigned and dissolved Iceland's government amid bad financial news and public discontent. But however Iceland's political and economic crises play out, one thing Iceland can be proud of is its remarkable success in transferring its dependence from fossil fuels to clean energy. In fact, more than 80% of Iceland's energy is green. It's a staggering number. I caught up with Iceland's then prime minister shortly before he resigned. He says Iceland's reliance on the hot springs that provide its geothermal energy goes back hundreds of years.
Well, this is really a story that goes back a long time, because we have used our hot springs, our natural hot water, for centuries, for bathing. And in many of our Icelandic sagas, there are stories of people having discussions in hot water tubs, generally discussing the issues of the day in that kind of a setting. And this is what many people do still today, of course, in much more modern surroundings. But the idea of using hot water for heating purposes is much younger. It's less than 100 years old and did not really take off until the late 30s, when the first houses in Iceland were connected to a hot water heating system. And since then, we've moved fast, and now well over 90% of all dwellings in the country are heated with geothermal energy, of course saving a lot of fuel. And it's estimated that the cost of heating, for example, the city of Reykjavik nowadays, with the hot water system that we have, is only about 10% of what it would cost with diesel energy. So it's a long-term investment, but once you're there, it really pays off quite quickly.
This is a technology that is not unique to Iceland, although there are some unique things about your environment that allow it. What was the difference, do you think? Why is it that Iceland saw the future in this way when the rest of the world apparently didn't?
A lot of it, of course, has to do with relative prices. The reason why geothermal energy sources have not been utilized to the same extent, let's say here in the US, where there is a certain amount on the West Coast, is the fact that other energy sources were at that time, or maybe even today, still cheaper than going into this kind of activity, at least if you take a short-term view. If you take the long-term view, like we did, clearly it's very beneficial to move into this area. But also, in our situation, it was just so obvious. We had the hot water and the hot springs all around us, particularly in the Reykjavik area. Households had been using the hot springs, the hot water basins, to do their laundry, for example. And that's just pumping it up and putting it into pipes and pumping it into homes was a real novelty at the time. But, you know, this is the technology that we have then developed. Many people have been interested in.
Iceland is uniquely suited for the use of geothermal energy, and you've taken great advantage of it. Are there concerns about Iceland's environment that are also unique to your place on the globe, on the planet? There's been concern, I gather, about what's happening with the glaciers, for instance.
Yes, this is, of course, a very multifaceted and an important subject. Iceland is quite pristine in many areas, and we are very concerned about that. We are establishing Europe's biggest national park on the northeastern part of the island, which is a very, very interesting project, and I'm sure will bring in many tourists. But of course, we need to manage that park and the areas which are protected by it very, very carefully. However, hydroelectric power production is a conventional way of producing electricity. It's a well-known thing. It's not something that we are particularly expert at, although we're pretty good at it. And I should also mention that taken together, geothermal and hydropower, both of which are clean and renewable, green energy sources, now provide about 80% of all the energy needs of the country. And that is amazing if you consider the fact that the European Union wants to reach 20% renewable in the year 2020.
Yes.
We're already way ahead as far as this is concerned. And now I'm talking about all our energy needs. What is left, the remaining 20%, is the car fleet, our fishing fleet, and then aviation, jet fuel and things of that kind. Heating electricity is now completely based on renewable sources. Let me add, because you mentioned the glaciers. One tenth of the country is covered by glaciers. Another tenth is covered by lava fields. So it's a pretty rugged territory. You remember in the late 60s, the U.S. sent its first astronauts to train in Iceland back in 1969. Neil Armstrong was there and a number of others, just to get used to the lunar landscape. The glaciers are a very important part of our nature and the beauty of the country. But global warming is changing this situation over a long period of time. But we have had fluctuations in temperatures. We have had fluctuations in the size of glaciers over several centuries. They have shrunk and they have come back. Now the glaciers seem to be shrinking, and the biggest glacier, particularly so, that is going to have an impact. The initial impact, which may last for several years and several decades, is that there is more glacial water flowing in our rivers as they melt. That means there is more capacity and potential for producing electricity or energy from those rivers. What happens then after this is relatively unknown. That's a question that the scientists are looking at.
You've talked, of course, about how many years that this has been a part of Icelandic culture, the use of geothermal energy and hydroelectric power. But it has expanded sort of exponentially in the last few years. Do you remember personally when the green vision that is Iceland now began to appear realistic?
Yes, I do remember that from the days when I was a kid. And the generation before me, my parents' generation, of course, grew up on heating houses with coal. In the building where I grew up, there was a coal heater in the basement, which had been out of use for some time. But this is something that no provision is made for in new buildings in Iceland. We don't even use chimneys on new buildings unless people particularly want that as part of the architecture. I do remember, and I've been told by people who are still alive and remember this, that there was a coal cloud, smog cloud, usually over Reykjavik. And that's gone because we are now using clean, environmentally friendly energy to heat the buildings. So if you come to Reykjavik, and many people have noticed this and mentioned it, that the air is very clean.
When you go to other countries and take your vision with you, what do you say about clean energy and its success? Is there a vision you can offer to inspire other countries to work in the same ways that your country has?
Absolutely. I think people who are environmentally conscious will look at this utilization of resources as a very, very beneficial way of doing things, definitely from an environmental standpoint. But also, when this actually becomes economically feasible, and the relative prices are such that it's financially beneficial to move into this area, people will do it, businesses will do it, and this will happen more automatically. But then, if you consider the fact that the world probably has 200 years worth of coal in the ground at the current level of use, it's going to be difficult to get people to move, you know, facing that kind of cheap energy source. And of course, coal is not the most clean energy production there is, even though there are different grades of coal. But I think if you combine the economic benefits with the environmental concerns, it's a winner no matter how you look at it.
Geir Haarde is the former Prime Minister of Iceland, a country 80% independent from fossil fuels.